Well, good morning, Snowbirds, Transformation, Transformers. Great to see you, Pastor Harold here. Listen, we're not meeting in person today because the parking lots are still snow covered, ice packed, still a little bit of ice underneath them. So the Troop Conscious decided we better not meet today in person. So here we are on Zoom. Thank God for technology. If you're watching this message on demand, we're glad you're with us. For Transformation Church, we are people helping people experience a Jesus-centered life. And we're glad you're a part of our kingdom community. We are a launch team. We're just right in the midway point of launching a new church in Eureka, Missouri in 2025. Lots of good stuff going on with that. And I hope you jump on board with us and help plant that church for the future and then ultimately other churches down the road. We'd love for you to be a part of our team and be a part of that. It's a great way to die to your own self-interest and live for God's ambitions. I can promise you that. Lots of ways God can use your gifts in that. So, but we welcome you this morning and we're glad you're with us. Before we dive in today, there's a couple things. Number one, if you don't have our app, right here you see it on the screen, there's the QR code and the link. And I'll pause for just a second so you have time to take your camera out and take a picture of that. If you're not watching this on your phone, then you can probably do that. But if you are watching it on your phone, you can come back to that link and write it down with an ink pen and go to that link and go to the app store. That'll take you to the app store and download the app. It's free. But there you can stay on top of everything we're doing. All our daily devotions, sermons, newsletters, everything that we're doing. You can read the Bible on there. You can send a prayer request there. Basically, you can interact with our church from that space. And so we encourage you to utilize that app big time. It's a great place. Also, if you are a transformer and you're part of our kingdom community, our Jesus Center community, and you're not on GroupMe, then you should join us. And here is the link for that. Here is the QR code for that. We'll pause long enough for you to be able to take a snapshot of that and join us on GroupMe. And if you're not a GroupMe member, just download the app. It's free. You just simply your name and email address gets you registered. Then come back at once you're into the app, click on that code or that QR code, and it will bring you in and it'll ask you a question to join and we'll let you in. But there that's how we stay relative and stay connected is there. We do daily devotions there. We engage with each other. We also have a new devotional for 2025 called the Jesus-Centered Journey, 365 Days in the Bible. And here's the QR code for that and the link for that. And if you want to go through the entire Bible in a devotional type mindset, where you're not, the chapters that you're encouraged to read are there, but they're not all there. I mean, that's left up to you to read those chapters and then come back and engage the devotion. But there'll be a reflection, there'll be some historical insight, there'll be a personal challenge, a group challenge, those types of things. There'll be a big section on hope and promise, and then ultimately leave in a Jesus-centered prayer. So it's about a five-minute read. Devotional each and every day. It will go all the way through the entire Bible and we'll end December 31st. And then we'll eventually make that into a regular devotional book. But for now, this is the hard draft and you're getting to be a part of the original manuscript. There'll be a lot of tweaking, editing it to it on the back end, but it's a fun way to stay connected and go through the Bible. So we encourage you to do that as well. Last announcement is Testimony Sundays. That's one thing that we're going to introduce in 2025. We'll keep it going forward. It's a way to bring new people into our space and friends and family, but also just to hear some powerful testimony how Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are working in the lives of other people. Some will be inside our congregation, many will be without, and we'll have some pretty prominent people coming in over the course of the next few years to share with us. But that kicks off next week, and John Walsh, who's new to our launch team, new to our church, will be kicking us off with that testimony. And then in February 16th, somebody I've known for a long time who's just a strong advocate for Jesus and loves the Lord, loves her life, and is an incredible wife and mom and business, very successful businesswoman. She'll be coming, Mary Daniels, in February to share with us. So that's going to be exciting. So come back and hopefully you can come and join us live. We'll be starting to live stream soon. We're in this transition from our current space that we're utilizing to our new space over in Eureka, Missouri, which is really close to being on its way. So we're excited about that. But anyway, we're glad you're with us. You can see how to connect with us here at the bottom of the screen. Send us an email if we can pray for you. If you want to engage with us, you got a question about today's message or a question about our church, you'll see our website there as well. Check us out. There is no secrets. We're not hiding anything. We're just Jesus-centered people having a great time on this journey, a journey that takes a lot of faith, a lot of commitment, a lot of work. But we committed to working hard, working smart, working honest. And through those three principles guiding us with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will prevail. I have no doubt about it. The gates of hell cannot stop us from what we're doing. The world system might try, but the gates of hell are not going to be successful because we got the power of the Holy Spirit on our side. So, amen. So, with that, we're going to dive in this morning and let us pray if we can. Let's just bow our heads and center ourselves. I mean, it's a Sunday. It's January the 12th. You're off to a new year. Maybe you set some resolutions. Maybe they're not going so well. Quitters Friday was just last Friday, because that's usually when people quit their resolutions. That's why they call it Quitters Friday. It's hard to stay committed, but we're in a message series titled Body, Mind, and Soul, Soul Restoration. That's our 2025 message series for the entire year. We'll spend the first third on the body, second part on the mind, and the third part on the spirit. But this whole first part is going to be on the body. So there's a lot of resolutions around the body of how to get better, you know, but what's driving that? Is it because I want to be a vessel for Christ, or is it because I want to look good? I want to be able to get in my suit when we go to Florida, swimming suit, or I just want to look good on social media or my TikTok videos. I just want to look good. Well, there's nothing wrong with looking good, but what's the motivation behind it? Am I trying to be affirmed? Because in our Western culture, we need affirmed. Not only do we need it, we demand it. That's an unfortunate disposition that almost every person from the West has, and it can drive us, and it drove me hard in my life. So but we want to get to a place where in our bodies we're focused on a kingdom mindset, a Jesus-centered mindset. So that's what we're going to dive into today. But first, let's pray. Center yourselves. Let's get centered for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to work on us today, and I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for technology. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for those who are chiming in from around the country to be a part of our message today. We ask your blessing and your sovereign hand be on them. All of our friends and family and loved ones and acquaintances on the West Coast that have been victimized by the horrific fires and continue to be the first responders responding to those, everybody else involved. It's chaos, it's chaotic, it's dangerous, it's deadly. And we know all those things. And Lord, we just pray that your power be there and provide the comfort and peace inside so much adversity. A lot of questions. Why do things like this happen? Why don't you do something, Lord, is always one of the first questions that come up. But that's part of the mystery. And part of the faith is just trusting that you're there in the presence of that fire. In the midst of that fire, you are there. And you will comfort those people if they lean on you. So we pray that they seek, they knock, and they ask, and they lean, all of us, each and every one of us, but especially those who are in harm's way this weekend. We pray for our message today. We pray for our bodies, that you enter them and that you guide them and you encourage us to use our bodies as a vessel, as a channel, as a temple, so that you can work through that. We know that we're not the channel. We're just a mechanism for the channel. The channel is the Holy Spirit, and we just want to be a maximum service to you and the people in our lives. So we pray for this. We pray boldly in your son's name. Amen. All right. Well, welcome back. We're going to dive in. Good morning, everyone. This is our yearly body, mind, and spirit soul restoration message that I talked about. And last week, we launched this series with an important title, The Image of God. And that was an important message because we're all created in the image of God. It defines our identity and shapes our purpose. If we know that, if we subscribe to that, if we accept that and concede to that, that's the truth. You're created in the image of God, the creator that created everything you can see, touch, feel, smell, all five senses. God, the same God that created that, created you. So that's pretty fascinating, I think. I think that's an awesome deal. It's a lot of mystery behind it. But he also created it not for no reason. We don't create anything for nothing. There's a purpose behind everything that's created. Well, there's a purpose for your life. And it's part of a whole. It's a oneness in Jesus, to follow a Jesus-centered God and live a Jesus-centered life, and to help the wounded, excluded, and suffering, and those who don't know the Lord, to have that experience, to invite them through your own testimony, through your own living example, your own bright light in the kingdom. That's how we do that. So we explored that. We explored how being created in God's image, again, defines our identity, defines our purpose. And the sermon series reminds us that our lives are not accidents. We are not accidents, and our value is rooted in one who lovingly created us. Amen. I think that's just way cool. Today, as we continue, we'll focus on what identity calls us to honor God with our physical bodies, in treating them as sacred temples where the Holy Spirit dwells. So I think that gives a different mindset. You know, it's really tempting to want to go out and do the Atkins diet, the keto diet, the Mediterranean diet, the cabbage soup diet. You go on down the line, the keto diets, the all the shots. This is not a knock on anybody that's doing those things, because I've done all those things. I have not done the shots, but I've definitely done different diets throughout my lifetime, trying to bring the weight down, looking for the easier, softer way, instead of living a spiritually disciplined life, eating the right amount of food for my BMI, my body mass index. It's hard to do that. Why? Because food is a toxin. It releases dopamine, and I eat, if I'm honest, emotionally, you know, so stress, anxiety, all those things can drive it. But I also eat for distraction. I just need a distraction from whatever life's coming. It doesn't mean it's ugly, it's bad, it's negative. It's just life's coming at you, good, bad, or ugly. And I need a distraction from it. So I'm going to go grab some Oreos or a bag of chips or some popcorn or a piece of cake, eating way late at night, doing all those things. But if I can only take in 2,200 calories and I'm eating 2,500, well, it doesn't take a lot of math to realize you're not going to have much success, and especially the older you get, because your metabolism slows down and your body just doesn't process stuff as fast as it used to. Now, some people are just naturally thin, and it drives me insane. It's like they could sit there and eat a whole smorgasbord, a couple Twinkies, a couple Snickers bars, and it's like it does nothing to them, and that just blows my mind. And I can look at a piece of cake and gain a pound. I don't know if that's your story, but that's definitely my story. But let's dive into it. So if you're struggling with that, but I think if we shift our mind from the body shame and the ego of what the world, how the world sees me, and focus on what my purpose is, that I'm created in God's image, and God gave me this vessel, he gave me this temple to use for his kingdom, to advance the kingdom, to be a maximum service to him and the people in our life. And so that's what we want to do with it. So we're going to hit some points today. We're going to talk about understanding the temple within, honoring God through stewardship is going to be another one of our points, and then reflecting spiritual commitment. That's going to be our three main points that we're going to hit on. So let's dive into it. First one, understanding the temple within. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You, God redeemed you at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. End quote. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It's our key scripture. And Paul's words to the Corinthians were revolutionary. No doubt about it. It's like, wow. You know, they're not used to this mindset. And no longer was our worship and confined to a building. But God's dwelling place became personal. It became intimate. It became transformative, right? Yeah, so that's a big shift. We're not, God's not out there, God's in here. God's not an abstraction, not just some fundamental idea. It's a real thing, and it's living inside me. It dwells within inside me. In recovery circles, they say, where do you find this God? Deep down inside you, right? That's where you find it, deep down inside you. So it's important. The concept of bodies as temples, right, redefines how we see ourselves. I think it does. A temple is sacred, it's set apart, it's worthy of care. John Wesley would say, and I quote, excuse me, and I quote, cleanliness is indeed next to godliness, end quote. His words reflect a deep truth, deeper than hygiene, right? God calls us to steward what God has given, starting with our bodies. So I think if we're all honest, if we did a personal inventory, a moral inventory, good, bad, and ugly, of our lives, thoroughness and honesty about our lives, we would say we got work to do. We could be eat better. We can do more exercise to stay in better shape. Because as a wise prophet in my life, Lewis Trotter told me one time, Harold, it's hard to do good when you don't feel good. And that's true. It is. No doubt about it. That is a true statement. Tim Keller adds, and I quote, the gospel is not just about individual happiness and fulfillment. It's about the restoration of creation, end quote. And the restoration begins with how we treat the part of creation closest to us, our physical selves. So we start with that. So an illustration you might want to think about is imagine a beautifully constructed church, and there's lots of them around the country, built with an intricate details and great care, like the one we're getting ready to put in Eureka, Missouri. Over time, if neglected, the structure would decay, right? It would start to fade away. Its purpose would be diminished. In the same way, ignoring our bodies does the same thing. God's temples limit our abilities to glorify Him and serve His purposes. So that's what we want to be focused on, that we're in charge to take care of ourselves, just like maintenance. You got to take care of the car. You don't change the oil. You don't change the tire. Rotate the tires. Car's probably not going to last too long. Point number two, honoring God through stewardship. Honoring God with our bodies is not about striving for protection, but basically intentional stewardship. You know, we're not trying to be perfect. God's perfect love will shape us how we're supposed to be. We're not going to be perfect. Sin will always be there at some level because humans love sin too much to leave it. But also, self will never be fully eradicated in our lives. But our bodies are instruments for God's work. How we care for them reflects our priorities, right? It reflects what we're about. So if we just neglect them and we just eat whatever we want, we do whatever we want, that's a very self-centered prospect and proposition. We're just living for our own self-interest. And right now I need a release, I need a fix, I need something. And so we turn to food. It's definitely one of them. Obviously you can throw drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, money, power, glory, prestige. We could add a lot of vices, worldly vices to that mix, but the reality of it is food is definitely one. And why it's so hard is because we need it. We gotta eat food. It's part of the social makeup and social image that the world presents, so we have to engage with it. But if we've been compromising it most of our life, then it's hard to get back into it, you know, and eat in a Jesus-centered way, in a Jesus-disciplined way, in a biblical-centered way, a spiritually principled way. I mean, you can go on and on how we want to frame it, but it's true. Greg Boyd writes, and I quote, to be human is to be entrusted with the care of God's creation, starting with ourselves, end quote. This care manifests in practical ways, nourishing our bodies with healthy food, exercising to maintain strength, and resting to renew energy. So we got to eat right, we got to get exercise, and we got to rest. Three critical components. These habits are not rooted in vanity, but vitality, right? Important, equipping us to serve God fully. So if I just broke those three up into pie charts, diet, nutrition, eating, exercise, fitness, overall well-being, and then rest, relaxation, you know, taking care of myself there. How would you score yourself on a scale 1 to 10 on eating? What would you give yourself? 1 being absolutely terrible, 10 being you couldn't do it any better, or somewhere in between. How would you honestly do that? Same with your exercise, same with your resting. How would you score yourself? And I know it ebbs and flows from day to day, but overall, if you just took like 2024, how did you do with your eating? How did you do with your exercise? How did you do with your resting? And how can you improve that? Through intention, through commitment. And I mean a commitment, not a decision, because a decision is easily compromised, but a commitment to do it, right? And I think that is important for us. The way we treat our bodies reflects our spiritual values. N.T. Wright emphasizes, and I quote, what you do with your body is the present matters because God has a great future in store for it, end quote. So it's just that mindset. It's a promise that there's that God wants to use me. You know, it's the best prayer in the world for evangelism. It's just two words. Use me, right? Just go out and use me, God. But we got to be ready for to be used. Recognizing our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit transforms everyday choices into acts of worship. So think about that. When you are eating right, it glorifies God. when you're exercising and getting fitness in your life, going for a walk on a daily basis, getting on a treadmill, going to Planet Fitness, whatever it is your gig to get that exercise in your life, it glorifies God. It's a way of worshiping God. And then when you're resting, you ever think of taking a nap as worshiping God? I mean, we talk about the Sabbath, but I'm talking about physically just going down, closing your eyes, taking a nap, going for, you know, resting, going to bed at a decent hour, getting up at a decent hour. It's a form of worship when it comes to God. Think of a lighthouse. If you've ever been out and seen the lighthouses, their purpose is to guide ships safely to shore. That is their purpose. If the lighthouse is neglected, right, and the light goes dim, and its effectiveness diminishes, but we know what happens. When we honor God with our bodies as temples, we shine brightly. And that's what we're called to do, is take our lamp into the dark corners of the earth, pointing others to God who dwells within us. So the prism of light, you know, as John Wesley would say, when something's on fire, people want to come and watch it burn. Well, the inventory question is, are you on fire? Do people want to come and watch you burn? You know, and so that's what you got to think about. We got to think about that as a collective, as a body of Christ, as a oneness in Christ. Are we on fire? So what are the application, practical steps for our and God's temples? Well, I think there's four things. Number one, daily gratitude. Begin each day with a prayer, a thanksgiving for your body, and the commit to honoring God with it. So that's number one. Number two is intentional choices. Make decisions, prioritizing your health, right? And reflecting your reverence for God. Number three, restoration through rest. Embrace rest as a spiritual discipline. Recognizes its importance and its renewal. You know, when you have a good night's sleep, it's like, oh, yeah, crack those knuckles, let's go, right? And then number four, community accountability. Surround yourself with those who encourage and support your commitment to stewardship, right? So you got to be around the right people. We become what we think about most. Who we are around affects us. Stephen Covey used to say, and I love it, and this is an abbreviation of the quote, but he used to say, you need to ask yourself three questions. Number one, who am I around? Number two, what's it doing to me? And number three, is it okay? So I think those are three questions to ask ourselves all the time. And then lastly, you know, as we come into it, we're looking at as a living as Jesus-centered life. I mean, really, are we living a Jesus-centered life in our life? If you think about going back to Greg Bode's quote, and you think about the carpenter's tools, if neglected, they become dull and ineffective. We don't sharpen the tools, if we don't take care of the tools. However, they help the carpenter create a beautiful, you know, precise work when maintained. You know, so if you keep the saw sharp, if you keep the tools in order, keep everything organized, it's the same way with our bodies. If we equip ourselves to fulfill God's purposes with excellence, so we do that. It's a form of living a Jesus-centered life. So as we close, I invite you to reflect on this. Are you living for ambitions of God, or have you surrendered your life to God's greater ambition? So again, am I living for myself, or am I living for God's ambitions in my life? Augustine said, and he reminds us, and I quote, take care of your body as if you were living, going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you were going to die today. Amen? End quote. The dual focus, honoring God with our body and soul, is the essence of a Jesus-centered life. It truly is. And so this whole message series, body, mind, and soul, is going to be impactful. It's going to be powerful. It's one I think we can go back and reflect on at any time in our life, earthly life, for the rest of our lives. It's one we should be sharing with others, because it truly is. If we're going to claim to live Jesus-centered life, then we have to act like it, which means these three areas of our life have to be centered on Jesus. Not perfect, but they need to be going there. Turning your will and life over to Jesus is the beginning of living life on life's terms, you know, in a Jesus-centered way, not by your own strength, but by His, right? And that's the shift. The human problem is spiritual separation. But living this way over time, that separation gets shrank, right? The gap gets lessened, and we get closer to God. And when you live for God's ambitions, your life reflects His love, His grace, and His restoration. And we're in the restoration business, right? We are in the hope business. You know, we're hope dealers. We're out there supposed to be peddling hope, not dope, but hope, right? And today I invite you to make a decision. So if you're listening to this message, stop striving for your goals, your own goals, and surrender your life to the one who created, redeemed, and called you to be his temple. You know, quit living your goals because you're never going to be fulfilled. I want to lose this many pounds. I want to look this good. I want to get in a swimming suit. I want to do all these things. All those are just self-centered human ambitions. God's ambitions addresses all those things, but it's a bigger picture. I created you for a purpose. I want you to live into that purpose. But if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to maximize your efforts in those services. And so therefore, your depth and weight and effectiveness is going to be greatly diminished. I need you to be on your best. I need you to get in the game, be your best. So I'm asking you, I'm asking us, I'm asking all of us, let's commit to living not for ourselves, but for God's glory, starting now. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we came before you in gratitude and humility, acknowledging that our lives are not our own, but are yours. Bought at a great price, you dwell within us, making our bodies your holy temple. Lord, we ask for your guidance as we strive to honor you with our physical, mental, and spiritual selves. Help us to see our lives through your eyes and live in a way that reflects your glory. Jesus, we surrender our ambitions, desires, and plans to you. Teach us to walk in step with your Spirit, living not for ourselves, but for your purpose. Renew our minds and restore our souls to shine as lights in the world, pointing others to your love and grace. Strengthen us to live on life's terms, trusting in your power and provision. May our choices reflect your will, and may our lives be a testimony of the transformation only you can bring. We dedicate ourselves to living a Jesus-centered life for your glory and kingdom. In your holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey friends, our message today calls us to remember that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and bought at a price and created for the glory of God. And God calls us to take care of that and honor what is sacred, including how we use the resources he entrusts us with as a way to honor him with every part of our lives. And even though we're meeting online, even though you might be watching this online, you can still participate in this act of worship. We made it simple for you to secure and help bless the kingdom, help bless what we're doing. And you can use our church app. You can use the QR code you see here on the screen, or you can text in this number. You can text the word give to this number and give that way. So electronically, we have lots of ways you can help support our kingdom. And we're not just asking for a financial commitment of any kind, and a gift of any kind is a blessing, so we appreciate that. But if you're in our kingdom community, we love to put you to work with your talents and the gifts that God's equipped you with. We want to help you live out your purpose, and however you see fit to do that. So come and join us. Be a part of our kingdom community. We would love for you to do that. When you give, you're reflecting your spiritual commitment to God, supporting the church's ongoing work, and helping us reach others for his love and purpose, right? So thank you for honoring God in his kingdom through your generosity. I want to pray now for this sacred act of giving and our donations that we receive today, that we can multiply God's kingdom. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder today that our bodies are your temple, a dwelling place for your Spirit. We honor you in our bodies and every aspect of our lives, including our giving. As we bring our gifts to you, Lord, we ask you to use them to build up your kingdom, bring hope to the hurting, and share the message of your love. Bless each giver and guide us to honor you in all we do. Thank you for your unwavering faithfulness and for inviting us to participate in your sacred work. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, friends, thanks for being a part of our message today. We're going to still get together. We're going to listen to some music. If you're watching this online, hey, stop. The message will be over. But kick on your favorite praise music and listen to a couple songs and glorify God and get your spirit pumped up. It's a great way to do it. So thank you for being a part of our message. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the football playoffs. Enjoy the warmth of your home, your family, and get into the Word of God. Put on the full armor of God. Go live for God. It'll make a big difference in how your life turns out. God bless.